This Thursday begins the General Convention of the Episcopal Church. And what I'd like to do today is talk a little bit about the General Convention that's coming up. Over the years I've been here at St. Paul's, this is the fifth General Convention that is happening, and I've been told in the past that my giving a little bit of a preview has been helpful. The media will be probably covering some issues in the General Convention, and I'd like to just give a sense of maybe some things that I see happening at General Convention. First of all, what is General Convention? What am I talking about? A little inquirer's class here, or newcomer class, General Convention 101. As we know as Episcopalians, in a parish, we have the vestry and there's a rector. And the two work together in various leadership roles. The vestry is elected by the parish. New members are elected each year. And the rector, when there's a vacancy, the vestry calls forth a rector to be rector. And there's a working together that happens in the life of a parish. Once a year, the parish gathers together for an annual meeting. We have ours in January. And oftentimes, it's kind of a report to the parish of the mission, the ministry, what's happening in the life of the parish, you know, what our strengths are, what our vision is, what our hopes are, where our growing points are. Kind of talk a little bit about life in the parish. So this is kind of during the year, there's leadership happening, not only with the vestry and clergy, but also with the various ministry leaders as well in a parish like St. Paul's, and getting together once a year for an annual meeting. Our diocese does something similar. Once a year, the diocese gathers together for what's referred to as the Diocesan Convention. And that happens also in January, coincidentally, the same month as our parish annual meeting. And gathered together at the Diocesan Convention are representatives from all the congregations of the Diocese of North Carolina. And attending that convention are all the clergy who are from various parishes, and also delegates from each parish who are chosen by the parish to be the delegates. The number of delegates depends upon the size of the parish, what the membership of the parish is. Here at St. Paul's, we have four lay delegates who we choose to go to convention to represent us, and also the clergy attend as well. So St. Paul's has quite a few votes when we gather together at a diocesan convention. Bishop Curry, the bishop of the diocese, is the one who convenes that meeting and chairs that meeting. And during that convention, we, again, talk about the life of the diocese. We look about budgets and mission and ministry and the hopes and dreams of the diocese. So the parish gets together yearly. The diocese gets together annually, yearly. The Episcopal Church, the nationwide Episcopal Church, gathers together, but not every year. It gathers together every 3 years. And this is one of those years. Our General Convention will gather in Indianapolis. Who goes to this meeting? Well, all the bishops of the Episcopal Church go to that meeting. And retired bishops as well go, and they have voice in the gathering. And they're referred to as the House of Bishops. And there's about 200 or so bishops who will probably be at this General Convention, the House of Bishops. There's also what's referred to as the House of Deputies, made up of representatives from all the 110 dioceses that make up the Episcopal Church. And from each diocese, there are 4 lay delegates and 4 clergy delegates, every diocese. And who are those delegates? Well, at our annual convention as a diocese each year, we elect people to be our deputies, they're referred to as deputies to General Convention. And we have 4 clergy and 4 laity going, along with our bishops, to General Convention. So the House of Deputies is composed of a little over 800 people, and the House of Bishops is about 200. So it's about a little over 1,000 people gathering at General Convention. During the convention, which will begin this Thursday and go for about 8 days, there'll be common times of coming together for Eucharist and for prayer. But the work of convention takes place in each of what's referred to each of the houses. The House of Bishops meets separately. The House of Deputies meets separately. And they work on resolutions and find ways to pass resolutions together. It's somewhat comparable to our Congress. There's the Senate and the House of Representatives working separately but together in terms of who we're called to be. So our convention, our general convention, will begin this Thursday in that kind of a context. About 1,000 people gathering as representatives, plus many more going to visit this convention. What I'd like to do today is talk about a few items that I think will be coming before. The convention, but talk a little bit about them. I think that oftentimes the media will cover topics in the church as it gathers, and my concern is always they may not be totally accurately describing what is happening and what is going on. I want to refer you to Episcopal News Service. Just Google Episcopal News Service. You'll be brought to their website. And it's probably the best source of news about what's happening at General Convention. I check Episcopal News Service almost every day. It's the communication voice. It's the news source of our church. And it'll probably be the most dependable place to go to understand what's happening at General Convention in the next week and a half. There are many resolutions that come to the convention. This year there are 307 resolutions. 307. Boy, we love resolutions and love conversations, and some of them overlap. They come from various places. A resolution can come from a diocese. It can come from a committee or a commission of General Convention. It can come from the House of Bishops. It can come from deputies. So there's a variety of resolutions. And I just want to talk about three of them and leave the other 304 to the side. One is an area that I would suspect that the news media will be talking about, and I want to make sure we understand what is happening. One resolution has to do with creating a rite, R-I-T-E, a ritual for the blessing of same-gender unions. At the last convention 3 years ago, one of the resolutions was inviting the liturgical commission of the Episcopal Church to gather together and put together a service, a rite, for those who wish to engage in the blessing of same-gender unions. As you know, the Episcopal Church has striven to provide as broad and expansive a pastoral response and pastoral care to our gay and lesbian brothers and sisters who are in committed relationships, how to bring God's presence into that, how to bring God's blessing to that. We are not of one mind on this throughout the Episcopal Church. We are not of one mind on this in our nation. As we gather together, many of our bishops come from various dioceses, various states. Some of our bishops are bishops in states where it is our gay and lesbian brothers and sisters can be legally married. And also bishops come from states where it is constitutionally not permitted. And so there's a variety and a lot in between. And many dioceses are looking to provide pastoral care and blessings in whatever way that can be provided. And a lot of it depends on the various bishops of a diocese and how they want to respond to this. And so as a church, as we continue to discern our way forward, being a people who like to pray from a prayer book, our liturgists felt that we could put together a rite, a service that would be offered to the church to be utilized when providing that kind of pastoral care, that generous pastoral care in the blessing of relationships. What this resolution will do is provide this rite, and it will have in it the idea of experimental use of this for 3 years. See how this rite works, and then come back in 3 years and review it again. And so that will be something that will be coming up at our convention, and there's a pretty strong sense that will be a resolution that will be passed, and we'll be going forward to experiment with that particular liturgical rite as we continue in the conversation on the blessing of same-gender unions. Another resolution that will be coming up that may not sound earth-shattering, but it's one that I've heard conversations about here at St. Paul's. It has to do with receiving communion. Our tradition in the Episcopal Church, and it's in our canons, is that all those who are baptized are welcome to receive communion. The understanding of that is that if you are going to be receiving communion, you've been baptized. That's been part of our liturgical tradition. It's been part of our custom. Here at St. Paul's, if you look in the bulletin, we have that statement: all the baptized are welcome to the table. And if you are not wishing to receive, to come forward for a blessing. It's not that we're checking baptismal certificates up here at the rail when you come to communion, but that really is a statement of what the common teaching of the church has been. But over the experience of the last many years, there's been this kind of conversation that's been engaged in. And is there a way to welcome people to the table for Eucharist who perhaps have not been baptized? What I've just described to you is the more canonical, sacramental understanding, that baptism, then Eucharist. Those are considered the sacraments of initiation: baptism, Eucharist, and confirmation. That's a sacramental, liturgical theology understanding. But many in other parts of the church are saying, but in terms of our pastoral response to the community, as we begin to welcome people from various traditions and other places, is there a way to welcome people to the table who have not yet been baptized? And in many churches, that is already happening. It's referred to as the open table, that all those who have an experience of the holy in gathering together are welcome to the table. For instance, our National Cathedral follows that, in Washington follows that tradition, and many churches do. And there have been conversations here at St. Paul's about that as well. How come when some people go to other parishes, they experience something different than what we have talked about here at St. Paul's? And our clergy, all of us are probably of different minds on this as well. We have some engaging conversations. So at this convention, there's two resolutions that are coming up, one from the Diocese of Eastern Oregon, which is basically saying, let's change the canon so that all can be welcome to the Eucharist. There's another resolution from our diocese, the Diocese of North Carolina. That resolution came from our diocesan convention, where we engage in conversation as a diocese. Our resolution is inviting the church into a focused conversation over the next few years, bringing together liturgists, theologians, pastoral care, bringing members of the Episcopal Church together to have some conversations about this idea of what's referred to as the open table. Rather than baptism being required before Eucharist, looking at Eucharist as being perhaps the way that people enter in. Some have suggested, why don't we just celebrate baptism at every service on Sunday? Invite everyone to come forward to be baptized as well. So lots of conversation about that. So that's a resolution that will be coming up. It may not, I don't think that's one that's going to get covered in the media. It may sound like a more in-house kind of topic, but it is about care, pastoral care and hospitality, and how we grow as a church together. The third and final thing is, I can guarantee we'll not get any coverage, and it's probably kind of boring, but a couple of years ago, Bishop Catherine Jefferts Schori invited Bishop Stacy Sauls, who used to be the bishop of the Diocese of Lexington, Kentucky, to join the staff of the Episcopal Church as a kind of chief operating officer. And what he's been working on, along with many others, is looking at the call that Bishop Catherine Jefferts Schori gives us to live into our mission, to live into our vision as a church. And are there ways that we can, for lack of a better word, streamline our organization, streamline our church structure? If you ever go to the offices of the Episcopal Church, there's lots of offices and lots of committees, and it's a large church, and there's a study of so many things that overlap. Are there ways to become more efficient, more streamlined, in order to get to that mission and get to that vision? And so Bishop Stacy Sauls has been working on that for a couple of years now, and some of those conversations will happen at this convention. There is a budget that's coming forth that's put together by the financial people of convention, who put together a budget. There's also what's been referred to as an alternative budget being presented by Bishop Catherine Jefferts Schori, and there'll be conversations about that. That may sound rather boring, but I think what the church is really trying to do is how to use our resources the best way we can. And perhaps if the General Episcopal Church is using the resources as efficiently as possible, perhaps there's more resources for dioceses to use, and perhaps there's more resources for parishes to use. As you know, we support the diocese supports the General Church as well. So there's conversations about that. I'm interested in seeing how some of that works out in gathering together. Two other things that will happen at the convention is, in 3 years, Bishop Catherine Jefferts Schori's term as presiding bishop concludes. The presiding bishop's term is 9 years. So in 3 years, we'll be electing a new presiding bishop. So there'll be work at convention as preparations are made for that search for a bishop from the House of Bishops to become presiding bishop. And also in the House of Deputies, we'll be electing a new president of the House of Deputies. Bonnie Anderson, who has been the president, is stepping out of that after a couple terms as president. And there are two candidates for president of the House of Deputies, and one of them is from our diocese. Martha Alexander, who is a member of our diocese on a standing committee. She's also a member of the North Carolina legislature, representing parts of Charlotte. So very involved in state politics, also very involved in the church as well. And she may be elected as well in that. So there's someone from our diocese. So I just want to share those thoughts with you, a little bit random. Some of those things may not sound like the most exciting things, but over the next week and a half, it's our church gathered together, talking and dealing with the day-to-day things that create us as a people. It's really about people coming together, over 1,000 people coming together from all parts of our country, who all call this Episcopal household our home, coming to know each other, listen to each other, meeting each other, and discerning how we can move forward, how we can live into the dream that God calls us to. So I ask your prayers for all those deputies and for the House of Bishops who gather, that our prayers are with them as we discern where God is calling us to be as this wondrous Episcopal household, that we can continue forward and live into the dream together. So thank you.